Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. We have got 13 minutes to go ahead of the close on this Monday with the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ all gaining. Volatility is receding as the prospect of war between the U.S. and North Korea appears to cool. We have got the 10-year down 9/32, yield 2.22%. Gold is down $7 the ounce to $12.83, down 0.6%. And West Texas Intermediate crude down 2.7% at $47.49 a barrel. S&P up 24, a gain there of 1%. Dow Industrials up 138, up by 0.6%. NASDAQ up 80, a gain of 1.3%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. Well, coming up, the ETF report is brought to you by BlackRock. Worried about market volatility? Well, minimum volatility strategies may be able to help. To learn more, visit BlackRock.com/factors prepared by BlackRock Investments. Here is Jenna Dagenhart with the ETF report.
Fidelity's index fund business is booming.
They're getting a lot of assets, about $80 billion in the past 3 years. In fact, Fidelity's largest fund now is an index fund, which is sort of ironic because they're known as stock pickers.
Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analyst Eric Balchunas says Fidelity cut fees for several of its funds, making them more competitive with Vanguard.
If you can't beat them, join them. You know, Fidelity and Vanguard were basically the opposite ends of the spectrum in the 80s and 90s. In fact, Vanguard, I think they both use each other as energy to compete. And in, you know, this era, you see Vanguard kind of winning that fight, but Fidelity isn't, you know, going to sit there. They've launched a whole line of index funds, and they've actually come in cheaper than Vanguard in certain cases.
But Balchunas says the problem is their index funds just don't generate revenue. Fidelity's index funds hold about half of the assets of the active business with $242 billion, but only generate 5% as much revenue.
Be warned, because when money goes into these index funds, it's leaving the system.
I'm Jenna Dagenhart. That's your Bloomberg ETF report.
You're listening to Bloomberg Markets with Carol Messer and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Higher is the question. Can these markets take us higher? Certainly higher today after 3 days of selling last week. Some of it noticeable. Jack Alvin joins us right now. He is the Chief Investment Officer of BMO Private Bank. And Jack, I wonder what you make of where things are right now. We've got some notions of volatility that we haven't had. We've got some big investors talking about gold as an increasing importance in an asset class, as an asset class in an investment portfolio. And yet we have the market really floating pretty close to some all-time highs.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that certainly this last little wake of concern last week and the skirmish, so to speak, or at least the verbal skirmish with North Korea, raised, you know, awareness of some of these other asset classes. And, you know, maybe this market isn't on a one-way street straight up, but sure looks it today.
So what do you do with that conflicting information today?
Well, I think, you know, it's a chance to review the portfolio, take a look at some of the diversifying asset classes. I think that, you know, part of the, one of the main reasons, in fact, if you look at the only metric that makes equities look reasonably priced is bonds. And so, you know, owning bonds in a world where, yields just seem too low for economic conditions, you know, isn't a great investment. It could be a reasonable hedge.
So are you changing things, I guess, is my question here. I mean,
am I changing anything?
Something feels a little bit different to me. I don't know if it's just the increase in vol, or that I'm not used to hearing a president sort of threaten nuclear options in the way that we have right now, but something feels different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the, you know, the prospects of geopolitical risks are certainly out there, both here and, you know, I mean, both abroad and at home. And it's been a phenomenon that investors have shrugged off over the last year or so. And perhaps now they're inclined to take a little more notice. I mean, you know, I think even the, you know, if you remember just the terrorist attacks in Paris and other places throughout the world, were greeted with little more than a shrug, you know, in the market. So, you know, perhaps it's, you know, it's the threat of nuclear annihilation is finally getting investors' attention. I don't know.
Nah, that probably won't work either.
we'll just bounce right back.
Well, it is fairly amazing that the threat of nuclear annihilation has not moved the markets appreciably.
We're just, you know, maybe people figure, okay, well, you know, what's the real downside?
going with the New Yorker article from a few months back about all the bomb shelters being built in Silicon Valley, everyone's thinking, oh, so what?
Yeah, right. It's like, okay, so I own cash. Great.
Cash is going to help
down,
a lot in that situation.
Go down in flames with your stock portfolio, I guess. I don't know. But, no, so I think that, you know, it is a growing belief that, you know, equities are really the only game in town, and there are no other asset classes that are meaningfully offering them much competition. You know, even with a Federal Reserve hoping to reduce the size of its balance sheet. You know,
how is there the way the markets are trading, whether it's sort of a volatile free move to the gentle creep upwards, how much of that is about sort of electronic trading and machines taking over, so we just don't have the panicked fingers or whatever it is? I mean, what's missing from the market? I wonder how much machines are responsible for the change.
Well, I think I actually argue, you know, and I know that the proponents of algorithmic trading argue that, you know, this machine trading adds liquidity. I argue it is actually the opposite. It takes liquidity out of the markets. Generally, it's trying to look for trends and then piles on. So I'm not so sure how, you know, liquidity is really taking the other side of the market, being that market maker that's willing to stand in the way of a freight train. And, you know, algorithmic trading is just the opposite. But no, I think it's more to do with this move toward passive, which I'm going to say is not all bad. I mean, I think that investors are, you know, as they move to passive investment strategies, you know, by definition, they're going to be buy and hold. You know, so I'm not only seeing reduction in overall volatility, but I'm looking at, for example, pairwise correlation within the S&P 500 and saying even the correlation between stocks and the S&P 500 has come down as everyone is just sort of buying everything. Eventually, that creates opportunity for active managers, but you have to have a lot of patience to wait out your you know, returns.
I mean, do you sit there with a target list of individual names that you want to own, with the notion that there will be some kind of separation now from a lack of correlation, that great stocks will perform a good stock market?
Yeah, I mean, I don't profess to be a real good stock picker, but I will say that, you know, the group that does stock picking, we generally use a quantitative model, will certainly find opportunities out there. But like I said, you have to be willing to be wrong for a while as this flow of funds just keeps funneling into these passive approaches.
I mean, that's the thing about the willingness to be wrong for a while is hard for, I think it's hard for investors to see, because we go on TV and we go on the radio and want to all sound like geniuses. I picked the bottom, I sold at the top. But markets don't work. Trading doesn't, investing doesn't work like that.
No, it's flow of funds. And the fact is that, you know, and I tell this to clients all the time. I said, I wouldn't own, you know, a share of stock unless I had, you know, 7 to 10 year time horizon. You know, we try to buy asset classes so when you buy it with a dollar, that by the time you need that money, that dollar's there. And yeah. Anything less than that is uncertainty.
Helpful stuff. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Private Bank. Always glad to have you here, Jack. We appreciate Jack again, CIO of BMO. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.